hearts for this study. I'm so glad that you're here. I hope that you brought your Bible with you, and I invite you to turn with me in the Old Testament to the book of Proverbs in the 22nd chapter. Proverbs chapter 20, talk to one another. You get to know us, we get to know you, and that would really be a great thing. This month in March, Sunday mornings in March, we've been going to the Scriptures and learning about building leadership. And that is an important part of building for eternity. We talked about getting our lights out from under the baskets and exerting influence, influencing others for Christ and directing each others to our Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about leadership in the church, and of course last weekend was our teen Bible study weekend. And that was talking about being leaders for life. And Frederick Gray spoke on leading your prayer, leading peers. And today we are going to discuss leadership in the home, specifically parenting. Parents, you are the captains on the home team. And we're going to talk about leading your family. Now, I love to see this right here. I love to see all the young people sitting up front together. Got your Bibles out, got your notes ready. That's great. And I want to extend a special invitation to you guys and to all of the youth and college-age kids. I don't know if you've made plans yet for the rest of the day, but at 6 o'clock tonight, if you would come back here, we're going to have a lesson, especially for the young people and the youth, talking about stars of the home team, a lesson for kids. And I'd just really like to encourage all of the families to come sit up front, kind of where you guys are sitting and around you, as we have that study tonight at 6 o'clock, and be thinking about this question. In the book of Proverbs, what's the one thing God commands children to do for their parents? You're going to get the answer tonight at 6 o'clock. Have you ever wished that your kids came with an instruction manual? I heard an amen already. This sermon's off to a great start. I remember... coming home with Aaron from the hospital and sitting there with, you know, in my hands and thinking, now what happens next? Where do we go from here? I had never even changed a diaper before that day, you know. I'm firstborn. Julie's firstborn. Can we do one of our unscientific surveys here? How many firstborns are in the room? Okay. All right. Well, I'm sorry. If you haven't figured it out yet, your parents were learning on you. We're the guinea pigs, all right? We're gonna get this thing figured out, but we're the guinea pigs. Now, and then the second one comes along and find out those kids are all different anyway. but the parents are learning a lot of times on the first one. Parenting is rewarding, but it is challenging. And no, they didn't come home from the hospital with an instruction manual, but thankfully, in the book of Proverbs, God offers a game plan for parents to have a winning home, a successful home. And that's why we're beginning in Proverbs 22, verse 6. Are you there with me in your Old Testament? Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. What do you picture in your mind when you hear the word parenting? What do you picture in your mind when you hear the word train or training? You know, until about a week ago, I'd say, I think of molding behavior. That's what I would say. When I think of parenting, when I think about training up a child, I think of molding behavior, and especially when they're little. We've got to mold them. We've got to shape them. They need to learn to obey, and they need to learn good and bad and to do the good, and they need to behave and be courteous and act responsibly. And parents will know that they have trained their child well when the child is polite and respectful, when the child is honest and successful in school or whatever other endeavors of life they might pursue. But here's what I'm learning from Proverbs, and here's what I want to share with you this morning. Parents need to train the heart of a child to be directed toward God. We'll say it again. Parents need to train the heart of a child to be directed toward God. Molding behavior is important, but it's actually symptomatic of training the heart. And understanding this changes my outlook a little bit. As Proverbs and other books of the Bible use the word heart, its meaning is broader than just our affections or emotions. It is the mind and the affections. That's the heart. the heart, the mind, the affections, the decisions, the attitudes. And a child's mind and affection is to be trained on God. And parents do that training. Your leaders at home, you're the captain. We turn to our notes, and that's located on the back of the bulletin. Number one, the parent's task, train the hearts of your children toward God. That's the task. Train the hearts of your children toward God. Before and above all else, train the heart. You read the book of Proverbs and you see that it is consumed with the heart. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. The book of Proverbs is about the heart of a person. The issues of life spring forth from the heart. When the heart is directed and guarded and guided towards God, that person will be wise with godly wisdom and knowledgeable with fear of the Lord. The heart is to be trained. Again, Proverbs 23, verse 12. Apply your heart to instruction, the older man tells the younger, and your ears to words of knowledge. The youth are told in this book of Proverbs, get your heart instructed. They're told, use your ears to gain knowledge. Well, parent, you are the first teachers, the primary teachers God has put in their lives to instruct their hearts. Yours is the first voice and the most trusted voice that they hear for knowledge. This is your work, to speak to them, to instruct them, to train their heart towards God. Consumed with the heart. Proverbs 23, verse 19. Hear, my son, and be wise, and guide your heart in the way. Son, listen to your father. Children, listen to your parents for wisdom, and guide your heart. What's that tell me? It tells me the heart must be guided. The heart must be taught. The heart must be trained. And parents, your work is to train the hearts of your children towards God, and you can do it. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. Psalm 127, verse 3. Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5. I want you to consider for a moment how God sees parents, how God sees the leaders in the home. We read verse 3, 127, verse 3. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. How does God look on parents? The first thing He sees is that they are blessed, they are rewarded, because they have children. It says that. The fruit of the womb is a reward. You have kids, you're already blessed of God. You're rewarded in His eyes. You've been given something very special and very good. But it goes on. How else does God see parents? And that relationship of parents and children, He says, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. When you think about, or when I think about, me trying to shoot an arrow, that is not a real impressive thing. I don't know what I'm doing. I hold up the bow and I pull back the bowstring and let it go. I'm probably going to smack my wrist. And who knows where that arrow's going to go? Hopefully not into my foot. But the Bible doesn't say God sees the children and the parents as arrows in the hand of a novice. Does it? It says as arrows in the hands of a warrior. That's how He sees children and parents. And that's a very different picture, isn't it? Why, arrow in the hands of the warrior? I'm not thinking about Andrew. I'm thinking about Robin Hood. Arrows in the hands of a warrior. What does that mean? Well, that means that He knows exactly how to aim that arrow. He knows exactly how to direct it and guide it. And when He lets that arrow fly, it will deliver true. Split the arrow to hit the bullseye, right? Just like Robin Hood. He he knows exactly what he's doing with that arrow, a warrior guy. And I think the Lord is teaching us something very powerful about parenting in that image. They will go just as you've directed them. Their hearts in your hand, and you are not a novice. You can control and direct and let it go and deliver it to its true destination. You do train their heart. You do direct their heart. You are the warrior parent, and your kids are arrows. Now, parents have lots of struggles. Parents today and parents in our society, and even in the room. It could be that you say, oh, I'm a single parent, and I'm trying to do this all on my own. And I feel guilt and frustration because I cannot be the other parent for my child. And maybe you're the parent in a blended home. You're actually a stepmom or a stepdad. And there can be a lot of tension there because in the back of your mind, you're fearing the day where that child will look you in the eye and say, you're not my father. You're not my mother. And what will you do then? Or you're dealing with divorce dynamics. Right? You don't get to see your kid as much as you want to see your kid. The judge has kind of put a stop to that. Or you worry about the influence of when they are with that ex and what kinds of things are they teaching them or showing them. We get filled with doubts. We get filled with concern. And what we have to do is let go of those doubts. What we have to do is prevent the guilt from taking over. We can't be guilty anymore about what we cannot be or what we cannot provide or what we cannot do. We must do what the Lord has given us to do, which is to direct their hearts and to redeem the time that we have with them to point their heart to God. That's what we're called to do. That's our work. Proverbs 22, verse 6. We read it at the beginning, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Here again, the man, wise man tells us, train them in the way they should go. And it's too much to understand that to mean every behavior, every habit, every decision, every thought. But train their heart on God. Direct their heart to God. That's the way they should go. We can do this. How? Well, by discipline. By discipline. Now, a lot of times when we hear the word discipline, it's, we kind of hear it in the connotation of punishment. When the child's been disciplined, what's that mean? Well, the child's been punished. Discipline is just another word for training. Discipline the heart of the child. Train the heart of a child. And I think it's a helpful word for us to consider because it's a term that we can unpack a little bit. It teaches us how to train a child's heart on God. Because discipline has two parts, instruction and correction. And we can unpack both of those. The instruction in Proverbs 23, verse 22. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. What are the children told? What are young people told? Listen to their father. Don't scoff and scorn the mother. Listen to them. They are here to instruct you. You have to teach your children. You have to give them something to listen to. Feed their heart content. All right? Feed their heart content. Your voice resonates with your children in a way that no other person on earth can achieve. Not the teacher, not the Bible class teachers, not a preacher. Okay? It's you. It's your voice that they hear and that resounds in their minds and hearts for years. Instruction and correction. Proverbs 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it from them. You have to correct your children. You have to instruct them. You have to correct them. When they err, when there's foolishness in their heart, when there is deceit in their heart, when there's some other wickedness going on in their heart, and it is evidenced by their actions, by what they're doing, you, parent, are to confront it, address it, confront it, and correct it. And again, you can do it. God said you can do it because there are arrows in a warrior's hand. You can do this work. Now, I think you should only undertake this work, and the book of Proverbs warns us now only undertake this work if a few conditions are true. I mean, you would only discipline your children if you delight in them. Can we look at a couple of Proverbs together here? I didn't put these on the screen, but we'll find them quickly. In Proverbs 3 and verse 12, you're only going to discipline your children, you know, if you like them, if you delight in them. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, just as the Father, the Son, in whom He delights. You love them, you like them, you delight in them, you will correct them. You will discipline them. But only if you delight in them. You would only undertake to discipline your children, to instruct them and correct them, if you have some hope for them. In Proverbs 19 and verse 18. Proverbs 19, verse 18. Chasten your son while there is hope, and do not set your heart on his destruction. That speaks to us about a time frame in life when we ought to be especially active, right, in trying to instruct our children while there's hope, while there's time. And yet I've met very few parents who ever actually gave up on their kids. But if you have hope for them, then you're going to work to discipline them. But only if you have hope for them. Only if you think they have a chance. Only if you would deliver them from hell. Then you would discipline your children. Proverbs 23, verse 14. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. That seems to speak to corporal punishment. And deliver his soul from hell. Or the word is Sheol, meaning death. In other words, if you want to save your kid's life, discipline them. Instruct them and correct them. If you want to save their life, they might have a very lousy life if there's no parents to do this work. But only if you care about their life. And you'd only discipline them, you know, if you love them. If you love them. Proverbs 13, verse 24. He who spares his rod hates his son. But he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Only if you love him. Isn't that funny? How we hear today, if you really love him, you would have never worked too hard to correct him. You'd let them kind of find their own way and guide them in some things, but you don't want to do anything that could mar their little self-esteems. I'm not making light of healthy self-esteem of children. I'm saying that's a cop-out for parents that need to instruct and correct their kids. Because the proverb also warns against this. Do not neglect your children. Proverbs 29, verse 15. The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. I think children figure out what the Proverbs explicitly state. And that is, when my parents don't teach me, or when my parents don't correct me, they don't think that much of me. And they begin to act out, to do whatever they can to try and get more attention or more effort or energy from their folks. They start to figure it out. Because if Dad cared, he would correct. If Dad cared, there would be boundaries. I mean, they're going to test their boundaries. But what they want to find is that they're there. And that there's someone who loves them and will stand for them for their improvement. Do not neglect your children. A child left to himself brings shame to his mother. What a shame when children are left to themselves. And it is amazing how parents in our society think it noble or enlightened to allow a child to train his own heart. Just train your own heart as much as possible. Well, this proverb warns us, the Bible warns us, a child can make a ruin of himself. But parents do that. Oh, I'll let the child make their own decision about religion and come to their own beliefs. I'm not going to guide them any way on that. Oh, I'll let the child make up their own mind about morality. They can simply decide for themselves when or if they're going to drink alcohol. They can decide for themselves when or if they're going to engage in premarital sex. Well, just let them decide for themselves. It's neglect. And don't think by your hands-off approach to parenting that their heart is somehow training itself. It's not. The TV's training the heart. The internet's training the heart. The peer group is training the heart. The world and the devil is training the heart. If parents in our society neglected to feed their child's mouth in the way they neglect to feed their child's heart, the state would remove them. So the parents' task is to train the heart of the children on God. How? I'm so glad the Proverbs tells us there's tools. That's number two in your notes. The parents' tools. The parents' tools. Here's our task. Train their heart on God. Direct their heart to God. And here's our tools to do it. First, the Word of God. The Word of God. I want to go back to the book of Psalms again. In Psalm 78. Psalm 78, verses 3 through 8. The number one tool God has given His people teach their children of Him and direct their heart on Him is His Word. And the psalmist Asaph wrote of it. Psalm 78, verse 3. Speaking about the law of God, he says, "Which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us." How did you learn the Word of God? How did you learn the way of God? His fathers, parents, his fathers told him. Verse 4. "We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright, and whose spirit was not faithful to God." Asaph diagnoses the problem of the children of Israel in these generations. He says their heart was not set aright. And why was their heart not set aright? The fathers failed to teach the Word of God to them. The fathers failed to put the law of God into it. And I hope you're starting to see all these Proverbs and from the Psalms, this emphasis on the word heart. We see it again and again and again because that's the work. To train their heart and direct their heart on God. And the Word of God is that key tool given parents to instill in their children. To put it in their heart by teaching them and telling them the Word of God. I put this one up on the screen from Psalm 119. Verse 2, "Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with the whole heart." Indeed, what a blessing. Look at verse 9. Psalm 119, verse 9. "How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." Scriptures to be in the heart. And parents are to put the Word of God in the heart. Only by having Scripture in the heart can we train a heart upon God. And so that means we're the ones that need to be reading the Bible to them and making sure they know the stories from the time they are small. And encourage them to participate in things going on like Bible classes and teen weekends and vacation Bible schools and the teen devotions that some here organize. Every opportunity. That should be our commitment. That should be our priority because our work is training a heart to God. And this is the number one tool. It's the Word of God. Don't ever doubt it. We don't want to be like Asaph warned, those parents that dropped it and failed to put the Word of God in our children's heart and know the ruin that came to those generations. There's a second tool Proverbs tells us of, and that is your example. Your example. Proverbs 23, verse 26. "My son, give me your heart, and let your eyes observe my ways." How are you going to train their heart? Let them observe your ways. Watch you. Your example. And they're always watching, aren't they? They pick up quick on consistency, and they pick up quick on inconsistency. I'm just amazed at how young they pick up on the inconsistency. A couple of months back, Julie was having one of those days where, you know, it was an evening and she's cleaning in the kitchen and I'm there in the living room with the girls and I was playing Xbox. And Julie had one of those moments where, you know, she felt like she was doing everything. Have you ever had one of those moments where you felt like you're doing everything? Was it because of the person sitting next to you? No, I'm kidding. and so, you know, she wants to know what I'm doing. And I said, honey, I'm watching the girls. They're in here with me. And you know, she bought that for a minute. We were so good. She's like, well, okay, you know, that I'm not having to watch them. So she goes and does things. When Aaron goes, but Daddy, how can you watch two little girls and play video game at the same time? Oh, I was undone. The inconsistency. If I'm going to say I'm going to watch the girls, then I need to probably do something with the girls, right? Yeah, she picked up on that. Parents, we have to accept that they watch us and plan on them watching us. Because the Proverbs tells us this is actually our tool. It's not supposed to be that stumbling stone we trip on, though we all do. It's our tool to use to train their hearts on God. My son, watch me. My son, give me your heart. And I think the children learn this from example more than anything else. Never has to be stated. You don't have to tell them. They learn this from your example. People do what they want to do. That's what they learn from your example. People do what they want to do. And so, you know, when we're telling them our commitments to the Lord and we want to do the things, you know, serving God and being with the brethren, those things, well, do you? Do you? Because people do what they want to do. And you're trying to instill this in your kids, but they're watching you in the sermon of your life. Whether you're going to make some sacrifices to attend things like a teen weekend. That says a lot of things to the teens, doesn't it? And you're going to get on them about the language that they use and how they can talk to their friends. But then they hear you getting mad at someone on the telephone, some telemarketer or something, and they hear the way you speak. And they see you. And what they learn is people do what they want to do. That's the powerful lesson of example. You don't have to tell them that. They see that in you. So we need to have the disposition of the wise man. Give me your heart. Let your eyes observe my ways. My example is my tool to train your heart on God. A third tool is your love. Proverbs 13, verse 24, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. The proverb makes a direct connection between your love for a child and your disciplining the child. They just have to know that you care. They have to know that you care. And your constancy in their life shows that you care. Notice this one. Proverbs 3, verse 12. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects. Just as a father the son in whom He delights. We miss something. If our parents will not take the time to instruct us and correct us, we miss something about learning God. Who God is. You can appreciate how God corrects? Because your father corrected? Well, my father never corrected. We've got a major hole in our understanding of who God is in the universe around us because our parents were neglectful. I want you to appreciate that there are two opposites of love. You all know the one. Hate. Love, hate. You know the other one? Neglect. That's the other opposite of love. I love you. I'm going to do good for you. I hate you. I'll do bad to you. I love you. I'm going to do good for you. I'm going to forget about you. I'm going to leave you alone. That's not love. That's not love. We've got to love our children. We've talked about discipline a few different ways. It's instruction and correction. As we talk about making correction, let's appreciate there's two ways to do it. There's rewards for righteousness, and we see this modeled by our Lord. Psalm 11, verse 18 through 20, Proverbs 11, verses 18 through 20, the wicked man does deceptive work, but he who sows righteousness will have a sure reward. As righteousness leads to life, so he who pursues evil pursues it to his own death. Those who are of a perverse heart are an abomination to the Lord, but the blameless in their ways are His delight. Look how God promises rewards for righteousness, like good life for those that are righteous. Even keeping the commandment to honor parents, that's not followed with a threat, but a promise of reward. Obey your father and mother that it may be well with you in the land. And it's important that the kids get positive attention when they do good, when they do right. If they only get attention from you when they do bad, they're just going to do bad to get attention, to get your time. Commend them. Tell them you're proud of them. Tell them good job. Tell them good try. When it's true, say those things. And set goals for them. And there can be reward with those goals. When they meet a goal, they're rewarded. That's just rewarding righteousness and encouraging that good behavior. And we need to do it. And then the second part of correction then would be consequences for wickedness. Consequences when they do wrong. Proverbs 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. Proverbs 23, verse 13. Do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. What kind of punitive discipline should parents use? Should it be verbal rebukes? Should it be time out? Should it be grounding? Should it be removing privileges? Should it be corporal punishment, that is spanking? And the answer is yes. Yes, all the above. All are acceptable, and any might be necessary. Because every child is different. And at different points in their life and development, various punishments will be effective. You're trying to correct a child that's looking you in their eye. You may not have a lot of success with spanking. But tell them you've lost the car privileges for 3 weeks. Now you've got some respect. Different things at different times may work. May be necessary. The best parents are creative in their punishment. But the key is consistency and credibility. Think on those two words when it comes to punishment and consequences. Credibility and consistency. All right? Credibility. When talking about punishment and discipline, credibility is your child learning that you will do exactly what you say you will do, exactly when you say you will do it. That gives you credibility. A lot of times discipline breaks down and corrective breaks down because you're not credible. You told them you're going to do something. They say, Dad never do that. Yeah, he's talking, talking, but I have to really see that happen. You lack credibility. Consistency. Consistency is your child learning that you do it every time. Every time. You want to confuse the daylights out of a child and frustrate them? Three times they do something and you say, you're going to get it. It's not a big deal. And then that fourth time, you really come down hard. Well, why didn't you do anything the first three times? It's very confusing. It's very upsetting. And consistency was what gets so tough for us because, man, it's been a long day at work and we get home and is it really that big of a deal? I mean, what they're doing right now, yeah, it's against the rule, but is it a bad enough transgression to warrant me getting up out of the sofa and walking across the room? We start to weigh out that opportunity cost. We're so comfortable in the sofa, maybe that's not that big of a deal. And what the child learns is it's inconsistent. Consistency. And the sooner we can help them to learn our credibility and our consistency, the easier our life will be. But it's a lot of payment on the front end and getting up and doing what we say we're going to do when we say we're going to do it every time. Punishment is always meted out with the end goal in mind of directing the child's heart toward God. Punishment is not breaking them. Punishment is not a parent venting their anger or frustration on the child. Or worse, a wrathful outburst. That's not punishment. And that's not really exercising this rod of correction as we read of in the Proverbs. Our work is to train their hearts on God. Our tools are set out before us. Let me show you from Proverbs the great reward of you working this task with these blessings God has given you. Let me show you the great reward, warriors, of using those arrows well. The first reward is joy. Proverbs 23, verse 15. God promises this to us. And here in these Proverbs, we see these statements. Proverbs 23, verse 15. My son, if your heart is wise, my heart will rejoice. Indeed, I myself. Yes, my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak right things. Here is the reward of a parent. It is a joy. A joy of seeing their children grown and they are wise. And they are speaking right things. And that is a great, great delight. There is a second triumph. We see that it will bring about gladness and delight. Again, from Proverbs 23, and notice verse 24. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. And he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. Gladness and delight, when the children are righteous, when the children are wise. What are we seeing? Their heart really was directed on God. We really got their heart trained on God. And it makes us joyful, glad, and delight. And notice this. Rest. Proverbs 29, verse 15. Rest. The rod and the rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Excuse me, 29, verse 17. Correct your son, and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give delight to your soul. Rest. When the children return what you have invested in them, that brings you rest. I have one more thing to say in the lesson, Jeers. I really hope you hear it on this point. About the parents' triumph. About how when you do this and guide their heart toward God, you'll know joy, gladness, rest. Here's what I want to say. You are training your child's heart where it is directed. And some parents get their kids' heart wholly focused on this life. And their kids are smart and they're educated and they're skilled. And they grow up to be nice people and successful people. And they're well off. But are the parents joyful? Are the parents glad? Are their parents at rest, at peace with their kids? Not if their kids aren't right with God. Not if we've trained their heart to, you know, go get all you can in this life and be great. But we haven't trained them to love the Lord. I meet parents. I know parents who are Christians and they're faithful people, and I believe they did the best they could. I'm just illustrating to say, you talk to them now, their children are not walking with the Lord, and they're not at rest, and they don't know peace, and their joy is marred because of a great concern for the souls of their children. Great concern. So what we want to do with our child is to be as active as we can. And the end goal being, we're going to direct their hearts towards God. Our children grow up, and hopefully yours will be wonderful people. I hope they love the Lord. I hope they serve the Lord. Because any little bit of money that they send back home later or take care of you later years, it won't cure the sickness you have for their souls if they don't love the Lord. But this is the great parents' triumph. For those that take on the charge, joy, gladness, delight, rest, take on the charge of leading their home, directing the hearts of their children toward God. Appreciate your good attention today. If you want to take out the songbook and turn to the number selected, we're going to sing a song of encouragement now. It's an opportunity for one who has not confessed their faith that Jesus is the Son of God to do so, to come to Him in faithful obedience to His gospel message, repenting of sin in their life and being baptized, immersed in water, to have their sins washed away. We wouldn't want to have an opportunity pass without someone doing that or having the opportunity to do that. And if we can minister to you, maybe in studying the Word of God today, you're a Christian, you say, I'm walking in the Lord, but I want to come back to Him. I want prayer of encouragement, prayer of help over things we've discussed today. If we can minister to you in any spiritual need, I just ask that you would come forward now and make it known. Together we stand and sing. Won't you come?